May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was about 7, I was in the kitchen while my mother was baking for a tea party later that Sunday afternoon. She took out of the oven a 6x4 tray of strawberry jam tarts. She put them on the side and said, "Don't eat those. They're for the tea party later. I'm going off shopping, but when I come back, I want all 24 intact and none of them gone." She went out shopping. I was transfixed by the strawberry jam tarts. And the more I looked and gazed at them, the more I wanted one. Until finally, I could not resist, reached out my grubby hands, took a jam tart, and took a bite. At that moment, there was a strange mixture of feelings I was experiencing. There was, of course, the delight of the strawberry jam. But then a moment of instant regret. What had I done? But having taken one bite, there was no point putting the half-eaten jam tart back in the tray, so I ate the rest and then went off sheepishly to my room awaiting my mother's return. Now, from a Christian perspective, what should happen next? Of course, I need to say a big sorry to my mum. She's told me what to do, I've disobeyed, I've marred the relationship. I need to say a really big sorry. Then, if possible, I should make amends. Maybe I could rustle up a recipe and make a jam tart very quickly and replace it, or dash down to Tesco's and buy one. And then I need to repent. Now, repent is not, as we often think, about determining to try harder. There might be some resolution not to do that again, but repentance is not about determining to try harder. It's about turning to Christ, turning to God. And that is one of the characteristics of the Christian life. A repeated turning to Christ. It's there in our baptism promises. Whether you're baptized as an adult like I was, or baptized as a baby, the promise made on your behalf was that you would turn to Christ at that moment of baptism. And the question is not whether you have been baptized, but are you baptized? Because the baptism promises characterize our whole lives. We are to be repeatedly turning to Christ until our whole lives are lived facing Christ. That's the goal of the Christian life, that the whole of our lives may be lived as though we are facing Christ and paying attention to Him. We see this turning to God in our parable from Luke. So I would like you to look at that on the grapevine for a moment. This is a very vivid parable, one of my favorites in the New Testament. It's Jesus in kind of cartoon form, using cartoon imagery. It's very broad brush. It's cartoonesque. We can imagine Matt from the Telegraph depicting this in a newspaper. It's a cartoon. But I want you to look at where the two characters are gazing. The Pharisee is looking around him in the temple and feeling rather smug and self-righteous. "I'm not like this crowd out here sitting in the pews," he's thinking. "I fast, I tithe, I go to church more often than you lot. I'm better than you, and therefore God's going to answer my prayers." And he's feeling a bit smug and self-righteous. He's feeling proud. And pride is an insuperable barrier to knowing God. We have to let God be God. By contrast, the publican is gazing at God, beating his breast, gazing up at the Creator. We are the creatures. Gazing up at a God who is white hot love, and we're often lukewarm or cold. He knows he needs to plead for mercy. God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. He's in a place to meet with God and receive God's grace and mercy. Repentance is not trying harder, it's turning to Christ. And we see that also in our reading from Joel. So let's look at our Old Testament reading for a moment. The setting here is that Israel is in trouble. The locusts have come and eaten the harvest. That disaster has been compounded by lack of rain, drought. The prophet recognizes the judgment of God and calls the people to repentance, to turn to God. They go in for all the traditional ways of depicting repentance. They fast. They tear their clothes. They put on sackcloth and smear themselves with ashes. And then we get this pivotal verse in Joel chapter 2, where the prophet says to the people, "Rend not your garments, rend your hearts, return to the Lord your God." But God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He summons them to repentance. He summons them to turn back to God, to return to the Lord their God. But God is gracious and merciful. In response to that repentance, in response to that turning, we have this passage here, which is full of vindication and promise. God will give the harvest, he'll give the food, he'll give wine. There'll be an abundance of harvest, abundance of wine. And furthermore, he'll pour out his flesh, pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Usually the spirit is poured out on priests and kings and prophets, but everyone from every background, female and male, even the slaves, the spirit will be poured out upon them. And that passage finds its fulfillment in Jesus and the day of Pentecost. We have this passage from Joel read out from Acts 2 on Pentecost Sunday. In Jesus, the Spirit is poured out upon us, and everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. This passage finds its fulfillment in Jesus and on Pentecost. Here we have the biblical vision. Today is Bible Sunday, and we have the purpose of the Bible in these two passages. The purpose of the Bible is that we might be saved, that we may turn to Christ and be filled with the Spirit. That's the purpose of this book. That I and you and me will all be those who turn to Christ, find salvation, and have the Spirit poured out upon us. The biblical vision is of the whole creation, every human being saturated and suffused by the Spirit of God, that we may glorify God in everything we do, and the whole of creation may be glorified through the Spirit. The prophet said, "May the glory of God cover the earth, as the waters cover the sea." That's the purpose of the Bible. That's the goal of our lives. That you and I, the church, may be permeated and pervaded by the Spirit of God. Every Eucharist, when we gather together, the Spirit is poured out upon us. We turn to Christ in the Eucharist and we relive Good Friday on the cross. We experience resurrection and we experience Pentecost anew. And the Spirit is poured out upon us so that every day and throughout the day, we may be people who turn to Christ. Live our lives as though we're facing Christ every day. And as we do that, people see where we're looking, see the sun shining, S-O-N, the sun shining on our faces, and turn to look where we're looking, and return to the Lord their God, who is full of mercy and grace, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. So let's here and now, in this Eucharist, turn to Christ, receive the Spirit, and be sent out to live for God as though we're facing Christ every second of every day. Amen.